Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. I want to also thank our sponsors, Attorney Michael Troiano. If you have criminal defense needs, whether it be a simple U.S. DUI or something more serious, make sure you give Michael Troiano a call. Check him out at troianovegaslaw.com. And then our good friends at the Laborers Local 872. Thanks to all for bringing you Raider Nation Radio. Of course, if you missed the news and you're just tuning in because you got out of work and you don't know, seven defenders on the Raiders team have been moved to the COVID list. Some of the names you might be familiar with: Jonathan Abram, Kendall Vickers. Who else, Q?
There's a whole list, man. Jonathan Abram, yes. Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, and aforementioned, whatever that is, Kendall Vickers.
There you go. You have aforementioned.
Tried to sound smart. I tried, man. I need to stay in my lane, man.
Yeah, no, it's good. Bobby was telling me some stories about his younger days, and break was making me laugh so hard.
He's told us plenty of stories about his older, younger days. We don't probably need those.
He's got some good ones, don't you know?
He's a different cat, man.
He's the good man. All right. We are now getting back to Chiefs. It is Chiefs week, of course, for the Raiders. And despite the breaking news and the craziness that is COVID and the times we live in and messing with everyday lives and now sports, of course, ongoing, we're going to get back to talking about the Chiefs, talk a little about where they're at right now coming off the bye. And to do that, we bring on our good friend Jay Binkley from 610 Sports in Kansas City. Of course, that's a flagship for the Chiefs in the Kansas City area. You can follow him on Twitter, at Three Guys in a Garage. Also, if you're a big craft beer guy, this is the guy you want to follow. Right, Jay?
That's right. Lots of beer.
But Jay joins us now to talk Chiefs versus Raiders. And Jay, you heard the news here in Las Vegas about the Raiders defense. Just another interesting storyline going to this. And of course, we had Danan Hughes, who you know so well, on earlier in the show, talking about the rivalry. But the Chiefs team, talk to us about where they're at. I mean, they lose to the Raiders. They make some adjustments, and they seem to get back on track now at 8-1. Going into the infamous bye week for Andy Reid when he gets to tinker and do what he wants to do. Where are they at right now on where they want to be? Because they got to keep up. If they're going to get the top seed in the AFC, which I know they want to get, you have the Steelers. Sure. You're having this crazy year. Where are they at right now? What do they feel good about and what needs to get better?
Hey, one second. Before I get to that, was it seven or eight players from the Raiders with close contact? Because Schefter put seven, and I saw that it was going to be. I'm trying to keep track of this. I'm show later. It's going to be COVID. What were you guys saying? It's seven or eight?
It's six right now that were added, but there was already two on it in Cleve Farrell and LaMarcus Joyner. So eight total.
Eight total. Yep.
Now, LaMarcus Joyner and Corey Littleton could play. Is that right?
No. Corey Littleton will not play.
Yeah, Littleton's out.
He's out. He's been ruled out. But as far as Joyner, Farrell will not play either. Farrell will not play either. Excuse me. I always say his
name. So Farrell and Littleton actually have COVID, or are they close contact?
Correct. No, they were tested positive.
Yeah.
Oh, even Littleton did?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm just trying to keep track of all this stuff. I just want to talk about the bus, you know. The bus, exactly. And they were talking COVID. No, but the Chiefs are on track, I believe. The Raiders had the recipe to beat the Chiefs. It kind of woke them up, to be honest with you. They've won 17 of their last 18 games. They won blemish to the Raiders. And it woke him up. And I, you know, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu talked after the game. You know, I never forget it, play it, you know, quite a bit. But, you know, taking accountability. Guys were in the wrong spot, doing the wrong things. And the Raiders game woke him up. And they hadn't lost a game. They've lost one game now in the last calendar year. It was to the Raiders. I do believe the Chiefs have put a full game together this year against the Ravens. That's the only time I've seen really this whole team working, except they did give up a kickoff return for a touchdown, so I guess special teams wasn't a part of that. But as far as a whole, the Chiefs have been doing better. Three of the last four games, they've left 104 rushing yards or less. That has been the Achilles heel of the Chiefs so far this season, is going out to stop the run. But it's been different things. I mean, different teams have tried different things. I've said, you know, the Raiders had the best game plan against the Chiefs. I would say the number two game plan was Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. What they did is go for it all the time, kind of like John Gruden went for it against the Chiefs at the end of the game, not to give the ball back to Mahomes. But it's been about going for it and fake punts and doing that stuff, trying to keep the ball. The Chiefs had 21 minutes of possession and still won the game by putting up more points. And then there was the Jets. And said, all right, we want to really stop the Chiefs' running game, because the Chiefs' running game looked so good against the Buffalo Bills this year. And so all of a sudden, the Jets wanted to slow the Chiefs' running game down. So did the Panthers. They only allowed 86 yards rushing between those two games. The problem is, Mahomes had 788 yards and 9 touchdowns in those games. Why you would choose to stop the running game instead of Mahomes is besides me. But the Raiders definitely gave the Chiefs the best formula. And I believe the Chiefs have been working on ways to correct it. Definitely we haven't seen the deep ball like we've seen in that Raiders game. They've kind of shored that up.
Speaking of, you know, stopping the Chiefs running game, I wanted to ask you about a couple running backs quickly after that Raiders loss for the Chiefs. They went out and got Le'Veon Bell. They already have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the good rookie out of LSU. How is that dynamic between the two as far as the run game goes?
It's been good. We haven't seen a whole lot of Le'Veon Bell. You know, he's got a few passes out of the backfield. He's been in there for pass protection. That was Le'Veon Bell's big thing, is how well he protects the quarterback. So having him back there, and he's a guy that reached out and called Clyde, you know, before he signed with the Chiefs. And, hey, you okay with me coming in here? It's kind of like that mentor coach role. And both of them are good with the situation, with being with the Chiefs. But I expect we'll start to see Le'Veon Bell a little bit more here and there as we progress this season. It's not an easy offense to pick up. It's going to take some time. Obviously, he's with the Jets and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. But I do think the Chiefs do have a viable running game. The Buffalo Bills, they ran for 245 yards in that game. They can do it. Clyde Edwards certainly can do it. Le'Veon Bell really hasn't gotten any opportunities, only 16 carries on the season so far. But I looked at it to start elevating here as we get through the end of November and into the December. I mean, just keep in mind, Damian Williams, you know, did so well for the Chiefs, but it was really, you know, kind of towards the end of the season and the postseason he became a superstar. So I look for the Chiefs to do that. Just 4 catches for Le'Veon Bell so far this season. I expect that to go up as well. But Clyde, you know, for the longest time was the third leading rusher in the National Football League, and it was fifth and sixth in all-purpose yards. That, of course, has started the slide. Clyde just not getting the ball as much. He's ninth in the entire NFL in rushing right now. He has the capability of doing it. He's got a nice per carry average of 4.7, but a nice 1-2 punt combination between the two that we haven't really seen utilized to its full extent.
Jay Binkley from 610 Sports, the Kansas City Chiefs flagship station in Kansas City, joins us here on Silver and Black today. And the connection between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, of course, is notorious, and it's key to what the Chiefs are able to do on offense. And I know Kelce's been very vocal this week about, hey, when we played the Raiders, I didn't have my best game. I wasn't doing what I needed to do. How has that connection been going on, and how do you expect them to shore that up and do differently than they did the last time they played Las Vegas?
Well, Travis Kelce's on a different planet at this point. I mean, 18 catches, 259 yards in his last two games. I mean, what he's doing at the tight end position is what wide receivers do. And a lot of people, you know that this year he's up there in receiving yards and they're talking about it, but I'll be quick to remind people that Travis Kelce was number one in the AFC last year in receiving yards. Over any receiver at tight end, he was number one. He's sitting sixth in the entire NFL right now in receiving yardage, and he's number two in the AFC behind Stephon Diggs. This is what Travis Kelce does. He and Patrick Mahomes have had a nice rapport. Now, obviously, Sammy Watkins being out of the lineup has kind of started to give Travis Kelce a little more looks as far as that is concerned. But this guy's no joke. As I mentioned, you know, fourth in the NFL, only behind Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin last year. Then there was Travis Kelce. This combination, he has a way to wreck a defense. The 10 catches he had last week, you got to be cognizant of where he is at all times. He and Mahomes they hang out together. They play golf together. They hang out all the time. They have this connection and chemistry that's really, you can't even you can't even really quantify it. Sometimes the ball is there before Travis Kelce even turns around. Mahomes knows exactly where Kelce's doing. That's kind of the connection that these two guys got, but he has been an absolute force to reckon with. I know we people go in and look in and see, okay, we can't let Tyreek Hill beat us, and you can't let him, you know, you got to be able to stop him. But Travis Kelce, if you're not paying attention to him, here's the guy that will hurt you. He's gotten 24 targets the last 2 weeks. Like I said, 18 catches, two straight 100-yard games. And he's going to be the only tight end in history after this season to be five straight 1,000-yard years. It's only been done three times, and that was Greg Olsen. Kelce passed that last year and became the only tight end to have four straight 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, I know Kittle gets a lot of buzz, and I know he gets a lot of talk, but let's face it. If you look at the numbers, I mean, it's Travis Kelce and no one else in the NFL.
You know, one guy that I always consider an X factor for the Chief is Mecole Hardman. He was actually drafted when all the stuff and the noise was going on around Tyreek Hill's name. He hit the COVID-19 list last week. What's the latest status on him? What do you think he's going to do for this game if he's available at all?
There's no status. No status on that. I mean, the Chiefs will say, you know, someone's on the list or not. There's been no other update for it. And of course, both Chiefs starting tackles got put on the close contact list this week, and Fisher and Swartz, and one of their top backups that would have been starting in this game if these guys not able to go. Martinez Rankin put on that list as well. So the Chiefs' offensive line has been hit with the COVID protocols, like Mecole Hardman. But I will say this, it looks like Sammy Watkins, was a full participant today in practice. So I look for him to come back here against the Raiders.
And before we let you go, Jay, just a quick question on this Chiefs team, because I think that, you know, this game, and I asked this to Danen earlier, of course, you know, the Chiefs and the Raiders hasn't been a big rivalry for a long time, but maybe now the Raiders who've built a nice team that should make a run in the playoffs this year, it's starting to boil back up. The bus thing obviously brought up this week. Well, we're not killing the airwaves with the bus thing, but nonetheless, it's there. It's kind of plays into that. But the Chiefs, it is funny. The Chiefs have a lot to play for here, not only just the divisional rivalry and the AFC side of things, but they're chasing the Steelers for home field advantage. You get the sense that they are focused, especially coming off this bye and as good as Andy Reid is, on the bigger picture and not as distracted and maybe not as, I think, focused on the Raiders per se as a rivalry and more as just another game.
Well, this game means a lot. Throw the rivalry out the window. Throw the bus thing out the window. It's the Raiders beat the Chiefs, and that's the main thing. I'm the team that came in and beat Kansas City, and yeah, there's a little bit of pressure. The Steelers are applying that, as you know, you fans in this town were kind of hoping Dallas would pull the upset a few weeks ago. Didn't happen, and the Steelers ran. But I mean, look at their schedule: Jacksonville, Baltimore at home, Washington, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Cleveland. Yes, there are teams like Buffalo and like Baltimore that could beat the Steelers. But, you know, I would pretty much favor the Steelers in all these games. Maybe not the Buffalo game. That's going to be a night game on Sunday night. But, you know, even at this point, you're looking at the Steelers being 15-2 at worst. You know, and they could be 14-2 at worst, or 15-1. So, yeah, that number one seed and having that bye, which is so important in the NFL. And there's the Chiefs right there with the loss to the Raiders. They can't afford a loss. This is a big game. Chiefs know it too. Can't be swept by the Raiders. Andy Reid's got an incredible 29-4 record against the AFC West since 2015. And he's dominated this division. 12-13 against the Chargers. 10 straight against the Broncos. Heck, he's beaten the Raiders 10 out of the last 12 times. Doesn't matter. The Raiders won this year in Kansas City. But the bottom line is, the Raiders would have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs. Not only that, they should be one game behind the Chiefs in the division. Chiefs still have to go to New Orleans. Chiefs still have to go to Tampa and play. And they still have to go to Miami and play. Miami's a much better team. The Chiefs are a better team than Miami Dolphins, but it's certainly a team playing with a lot of confidence. So the schedule does tighten up for the Kansas City Chiefs, so there's little to no margin for error.
All right, Jay Binkley, follow him on Twitter, @3GuysInAGarage. And Jay, as always, my friend, I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you later in the week.
All right, my guys, we'll talk to you later.
All right, there you go, yep. Jay Binkley. So it's a huge game for the Chiefs for so many reasons. Huge game for the Raiders for so many reasons. That's what it all comes together for Sunday Night Football, man. You could not ask for a better game. Hopefully everybody's on the field playing with today's news. That's the key.
That's what we want to see.
Yep. You want to see
both sides, honestly.
Of course.
I want to see them on both teams, not just the Raiders. I want to make sure both teams are good to go, and this is just a great prime time game.
Yeah, and the question I asked him about Kelce, too, because I just think they're going to try to unleash Kelce big time in this game, and the Raiders, that linebacking core and defensive backfield are going to have their hands full, as they would anyway. And then
Kwiatkowski got him covered, though.
Yes, there you go.
He could jump out the stadium.
Yes, and Kwiatkowski, Air Kwiatkowski, did you see that meme? That was a great one. But it's going to be a great game. Let's hope all the players are on the field and all these guys test negative so we see the matchup that we all want to see. Okay, it's time for a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for your call, 702-365-9200. How are you feeling about this Chiefs game with the news we got today? Plus, we will get the Q-tip on this Wednesday. You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234.
I like that song. Which one is that?
Who is that, Bobby? I don't even know. Let's see.
It's actually a song called Megatsuni.
It's called who?
Megatsuni. One word. Megitsune. And it's by a band called Baby Metal.
Oh, that's right. Baby Metal. You were talking about
this Japanese metal band called Baby Metal, and I just threw it on there because Magnum is supposedly coming back tomorrow. So.
Yeah, Chapman, you know, he's back, but I don't know if he's in quarantine or what the deal is, but he's coming back soon. So.
He's a lazy bastard. Tell him to get his ass back in here.
he's eating sushi somewhere in Vegas now. He doesn't want to leave the Japanese stuff.
Nice.
You got to love Bobby. As Bobby just said,
hey, Bobby,
no filter.
He don't pull no punches, man.
He never does. It's
says
awesome.
What's on his mind.
And I don't like to see Bobby angry because that means something's going on. But I you know, if you know anybody from Boston, when they get angry, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of anger you see. Because I don't know that there's a better city with angry people. Like, or I should say, when they're angry,
you can ask them.
They kick
you can
ass.
Ask some center fielders that played out there.
Yes.
They're not too happy when some of the fans get angry.
No, they're not. By the way, tomorrow's show, Thursday, breaking news aside, Evan Grote, of course, from Just Pod Baby, will be with us, as well as Levi Edwards from Raiders.com, and a couple other maybe surprises coming up, maybe, as we inch towards just Monday. Q will be in the studio.
Yeah, and tomorrow, just a heads up, might as well just go ahead and do it. I got a high school football game I got to do.
Okay, that's good.
Early week.
Early week on the Thursday.
It's going to be a weird day, but okay.
Yeah. So Q will be in town. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department has put out a bulletin to say Q's coming
right.
to town.
Hey man, and I've exhausted every outlet possible that we can take advantage of. Man, TV, radio, whatever it is, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we got some surprises coming. Don't worry. You're coming
right.
to town. We got it all working. And then
I'm there.
Remind everybody, too, because I want to make sure you're coming out. Just the Locked On Raiders podcast, which, of course, everybody who listens here usually is already subscribed to. But if you haven't, do so. But you're coming out. Your sponsor, the Sahara, right? You're going out and you're doing an event. Tell everybody about the event where they can see you.
Yeah, from 9 to 11 Saturday night, that's the 21st, at Sahara Las Vegas, we'll be inside the Cas Bar Lounge. And it'll just be a time to come, you know, hang out, talk some Raiders football, prepare yourself for what looks like a really, really good, exciting, and fun game Sunday night at Allegiant Stadium, Raiders and Chiefs. But yeah, definitely come out between those couple hours. It's funny, man, I'm going to land at like 8 on a Saturday, and then I got to be at the Cas Bar Lounge at 9, but that's how I roll, so I'll be there ready to rock and roll.
That's right. The airport's not as crowded as usual, so I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be all right.
I think so, too. No worries.
Getting there as quickly as you possibly can, and as if you've taken a cab or an Uber here in town, you know that speed
I'll
is
be
usually,
fine.
You'll be good. You'll be good. All right. It's that time of the day, of course, where we turn it over to Q. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
You know, it's funny. I was sitting at the radio station earlier today, and I was just preparing for my other show, and I kept seeing on Twitter people talking about this whole bus noise, you know, and all this victory lap stuff. And, you know, like, there's so many Chiefs fans that are really up in arms about it. And, you know, I seen the Chiefs, you know, their social media start to tweet out pictures. By the way, they were old pictures. And so if they're going to talk trash, at least be current. You know, that's one of my... You know, it's just one of my pet peeves. If you're going to be critical and talk a little trash, come with some heat, you know. And so they didn't do that. So, I mean, it is what it is. But all of a sudden I realized, Scott, that after one victory that the Raiders get over Kansas City, who, by the way, has only lost one game all season, sitting in first place in the AFC West and is still the defending Super Bowl champions, the Raiders are not even – they're not the hunters in this game on Sunday night, in my opinion. They're the hunted. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs and Chiefs fans are so angry. Now, let me make no mistake about it. They are still hunters. But, you know, just in the whole realm of everything, the Raiders are now all of a sudden being the team that's hunted. Instead of having, you know, the bullseye on the Chiefs back, now the bullseye is on John Gruden and company just because this noise got out about this, you know, bus trip that we all knew about a long time ago. Like, it was not a big deal. And look, this is still the team who's the defending Super Bowl champions, but it's like they're so bent out of shape about it. It's like, got to get the Raiders, got to get the Raiders. Like, you kidding me? You've lost one game this season. You know what I mean? You're doing pretty stinking well, got a really good team, but you're bent out of shape so badly by the Raiders that you've been dominating for years. I mean, I just think it's hilarious that the Raiders are basically like sleeping in the Chiefs' heads right now to the point where now, all of a sudden, the Raiders are the hunted. I mean, it feels pretty good as a Raider fan to be hunted.
Yes. And you know,
when's the last time the Raiders were hunted?
Exactly. And that's where I say, and we talked to two people from Kansas City today, two guys I respect immensely. And of course, they cover the Chiefs every day and through their championship and all that stuff. But I will tell you the fact that it is a bigger deal. First of all, it was what you call a plant story. Okay. If you guys don't know this, coaches, people and organizations will plant stories with local media and they don't tell the, hey, you got to help us gin up this thing. No, they just give them a story. And they'll say something like, oh, well, you know, we're not real happy about it or whatever. And then the columnist who first talked about it really in Kansas City wrote about it. And then here we are, right? But I will tell you, if you're a Raider fan, I wouldn't get mad at it. I'd just sit back. I wouldn't.
No.
To me, I wouldn't even engage. I'd be like, ha, we're living rent-free in your head, my friend.
Which is ridiculous.
After one game.
Right. One game.
Right.
Can you imagine if they had gone through what Raider fans have gone through? Losing to the Chiefs time in and time out?
Right.
Jeez.
And that's the thing, too, because I will say this, and again, I didn't grow up a Raider fan. I'm not a Raider fan like you guys are, which some of you,
you're bad.
Some of you think that disqualifies me to talk about the Raiders even. But I will tell you that the fact that the Raiders are getting good again is scary as hell for people. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the Raider mystique, the Raider brand, the Raider fan base, because they are so rabid and so good, the last thing they want Raider Nation to have is a winner and have confidence. Because if you get the Raiders to be the team that they even that they once were, even to be a playoff team, nobody wants to play the Raiders in the playoffs. I watched all the national media this morning and listened to national media around sports, and they're all talking about the Raiders, and some of them are still saying they're going to get blown out by the Chiefs, which is funny. But nonetheless, they all have said the same thing. It's like, look, if the Raiders win this game, I don't want to play the Raiders again this season. I don't care who you are in the playoffs, anybody. I do not want to play the Raiders if they sweep the Chiefs, okay?
Right,
even if they don't sweep the Chiefs, I still don't want to play the Raiders in the playoffs because the Raiders have been faced with this adversity, haven't had their offensive line, have had all these injuries, and they're still 6-3.
Yeah, exactly. And look, they know that the style that the Raiders play works, especially in the playoffs. When the weather's cold, they could be on the road. There's a reason why road teams win, you know, and wild card teams win and could take a nice run or even get to a Super Bowl is because they have the elements that play really well in the elements. And that's exactly what the Raiders have.
Absolutely. And if I was the Raiders, when the Chiefs come out to the field at Allegiant Stadium, I would play that Wheels on the Bus. I would play it.
I would have a bus sitting there on the sideline. Like, you know, the turnover chain.
Oh, my God.
I would go get a bus.
That's great. That is
why
awesome.
Not? I mean, look, ESPN puts the Boogermobile, which I know it's not the Boogermobile anymore, but they put that big old you know, cart on the side that Jonathan Abram ran into.
Yep.
Just go ahead and put a bus over there. Why not?
Well, and no one made a big deal. I mean, I know it wasn't before the game, but when Tom Brady did his little Instagram video around Allegiant Stadium after they won, you know, right. nobody made a big deal out of that. The Raiders didn't make a big deal out of it. I mean, JT got angry about it and said, "Don't, you shouldn't allow anybody to do that in your stadium." And I agree with him, but nonetheless, he did that. So again, right. It tells you that the Chiefs have. Listen, the Chiefs are a very good team. Don't get me wrong, but they have pressure cue from two sides. We talked about this. That's why I brought up the Steelers thing, right? Mm-hmm. The Chiefs want that bye. Okay, they want the best record in the AFC. That's the best way for you to get to a chance to repeat as Super Bowl champions, okay? And then you have the Raiders pressuring them from the other side in the division. And yes, I know how good Andy Reid's been against the division. I know how good he is off a bye. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is great. But then again, when the Raiders played the Chiefs last time, Q, they hadn't lost in a year. They hadn't lost. How could they? There's no. Yeah. They aren't going to come on the road and beat them.
Right.
We heard that before.
Yep. Can't win in Arrowhead. Derek Carr can't win in Arrowhead. I mean, he's checked a ton of boxes this year.
Oh, yes, he has. Yes, he has. And to me, that is why, you know, I think this is going to be a good game. I really do. As long as everybody's back, the Raiders get their players back from the COVID list, then I think it's going to be a really good game. You say the Raiders will win. I want to believe that they will. I just think it's still a toss-up, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
It is. And look, I made this determination on Monday. I just felt really good about the way and the style, really, that the Raiders are playing. And look, this whole COVID thing can change the outcome in a major way depending on who's playing and who's not playing.
Sure.
But I'm still going to stick with it and just say, hey, I trust what they got going and that they're going to find a way to overcome yet another challenge.
And this isn't me hedging bets here when I say this, but I really, truly mean it deep down, which is the Raiders win this game. It is, to me, the jumping off point for this franchise in its rebuild. Mm-hmm. It becomes a seminal moment in the franchise history. Okay. If they lose it, it's not the end of the world. So to me, the Raiders are in such a good position because there's so many people who don't expect them to win, even though they beat them once this year. And if they do win, all bets are off. If they lose, they'll sit at 6-4, still in a good position to make the playoffs. So to me, I like the Raiders' mentality. I like the mentals going into the game because I just think that they have an opportunity to stick to their plan, to do what they've been doing all season long, where the Chiefs have a lot riding on it. And psychologically, if they were to lose to the Raiders again, it could affect them, like Jay said, against the Dolphins and other teams that they're better than. But you start to chip away at that invincibility of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs that seems to still surround them.
Right. I mean, look, if they lose again to the Raiders, then all of a sudden they start pressing a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They start, what in the world's going on? Why is this team, you know, winning multiple games against us? How come they're the only team that's beat us? And, you know, there's a reason why you don't see teams that you see that are really, really good in the Super Bowl back-to-back years that often. Mm-hmm. I mean, you used to see it back in the day, but you really don't see it that often now. Because it's so stinking difficult to get back there. You get everyone's best game, their A game, each and every time they go out to play you. The one thing I'll say that the Raiders should do, and this is how they should approach this game, is just another game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they can kind of dumb it down and realize that it's just another football game, the field hasn't changed size, the time hasn't been extended, nothing like that, it's just another game, they have a much better chance of winning than thinking about, oh, man, it's the Chiefs, and if we win this game, then we'll be right there to steal the division or whatever. They've got to just look at it as just another game.
Well, and earlier, I watched the first game again last night. I watched the 22 film to see specifically on offense what the Raiders were doing, and I've now admit that I'm wrong. The Raiders need to do what they did last week. They need to run the ball, and yes, they got to pepper it with passes. I thought it was going to have to be the opposite, that they were going to have to really get the aerial game going big time to beat the Chiefs. But I now know, and watching it again and how they executed against the Chiefs the first time, and of course they had some long passes, don't get me wrong,
right.
But I just believe that run game, and we talked to Devontae Booker here on the show yesterday, I just think that is so dialed in right now that if they run it down that Chiefs' throat and they can establish that run, the pass will open up on its own anyway. But if they can do that, Q, you're going to demoralize that defense. And that's what they have to do to beat the Chiefs.
That's what it does. You know, Devontae Booker told us that. You know, when they know that you're going to run that play, even when they're calling out the play and they can't stop it,
yeah.
you're already 4 or 5 yards up before anyone touches you. I mean, you're just breaking them down. I used the description yesterday as it's like a boxer who's standing in the middle of the ring and just body blow, body blow, body blow. And that every once in a while, finally, you just start to kind of hunch over and then boom, knockout punch, you know? And so yeah. that's what it could be. And I'll say this as well with the run game. Josh Jacobs, everyone said, well, you know, he really hasn't had the season that he had his rookie year. Well, he started off maybe a little slow. All of a sudden, he's cooking with grease right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting hot right when you want him to get hot.
Yeah, and then you bring Booker in. The thing I like about exactly. Booker, too, is Booker is similar to mm-hmm. Jacobs as far as the running styles go. So when you switch guys out, you're not really missing anything. I mean, you're giving him the opportunity to get some to get a blow and to get a breath, but then you're mm-hmm. bringing in Devontae Booker, whose confidence has only continued to build. And you heard him yesterday here on this show. He really is dialed in. And so those two guys dialed in right now, it's a good recipe for this game against the Chiefs. By the way, if you're just joining us, of course, the Raiders announced today Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, and Kendall Vickers all on the reserve COVID list, and then David Irving also on the practice squad COVID list. I don't know why there's a practice squad / COVID list. I guess they were, you know, that's just the way they have to do it.
Also Irving as well?
Yes, on the practice squad COVID list. So that means
okay. Well,
he's
he did
not
get put on the practice squad and was yes. one of the guys that's protected. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's probably why. It's just a technical thing for them. So anyway, so wow. there you go. But hopefully, all those guys are healthy and don't test positive between now and the weekend, so they can get on the field. Okay, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll take a phone call or two, 702-365-9200. And also, Vinny Bonsignore, he'll bring us the latest on all this news, just on another crazy, crazy news day in Raider Nation. You're listening to Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. We're back talking Raider football, of course, breaking news throughout the show on the Raiders and COVID. Now, for those of you keeping track, players on the COVID list for the Raiders, Trent Brown, Cleland Furl, LaMarcus Joyner, Corey Littleton, and then added today, of course, the news that broke right before we got on the air, Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Isaiah Johnson, Arden Key, Kendall Vickers, and David Irving also on the practice squad / COVID-19 list. Phew, Q. Craziness.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take.
It really is. And hopefully that's not going to take away. Like, hopefully they all are able to come back and be available. Obviously not Trent Brown. But still, I mean, it's just one of those things. You got to get your guys back, and hopefully they do.
Yeah, and it's one of those deals. You know, I'm starting to see some people tweeting out, oh, they're going to get in trouble with the NFL again. We don't know that. You know, again, guys test positive because they're in close contact, or excuse me, contact tracing, not test positive. That's a whole different game, and we'll see how that all goes down. But clearly a concern, and not the distraction you want going into a big Sunday night game against your division rivals, the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions. But we're going to bring in our good friend, the man who covers the beat for the Las Vegas Review Journal and also hosts the show coming up next here, of course, which is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy. And that is Vinny. Vinny, another crazy day, my friend.
It seems to be every other day.
Yes.
It's a busy, crazy day in Henderson. But, you know, you knew that when the NFL opted to play this season, you know, without a bubble, you know, relying on 32 different facilities to house their teams and to try to get through a season, that there were going to be some moments like this, no question yeah. about it. So you got to brace for it. You got to deal with it. You got to be adaptable and flexible. And, you know, the Raiders are going to try to do that this week. Like you said, you know, based on everything that I'm hearing, as long as obviously everybody continues to test negative of COVID that are currently on that COVID-19 list because they're high risk contacts of Clelia Ferrell, the hope is that they're going to get all those guys back except for Clelia.
Vinny, before we get into the Raider specific stuff, just a question, because the NFL sent the memo out today to all teams saying that they were moving everybody into the intensive protocols for the remainder of the season due to the kind of nationwide spike we're seeing in COVID cases, again, calling it an outbreak. In your NFL sources that you talk to, you know, what's this all going to how's it going to change significantly the way the teams prepare? And then might this move them closer to, as we get closer to the playoffs, maybe doing some sort of bubble?
I think there's definitely two schools of thought on the bubble for the playoffs, but it might be a situation where they have to do it. And, you know, again, flexibility is the key. So even if you're against it, you might have to be for it if that's what the NFL, you know, ultimately decides. I'm trying to scour through all the what an intense, protocols mean. I'll try to get to the bottom of what all that means. I do know that, you know, in the Raiders case, as I was leaving, I noticed that, you know, there were a bunch of cars that were not there at the facility. So from what I understand, they may be doing some team meetings today virtually rather than there at the building. So that might fall under those, into the category. Maybe you do your lift, you do your practice, you do your walkthrough, at the facility, and maybe you do some of the meetings away from the building on Zoom. So that could be one of the categories that falls under the intense category.
Vinny, I saw a tweet, and I believe that you put it out talking about this Sunday night's game, that the NFL still plans to have it as a primetime game as opposed to what it did against the Buccaneers when they moved it up.
Yeah, as of right now, but, you know, key being as of right now, the right. NFL is inclined to keep that game right where it is. You know, obviously, it's a... It's a big game, and it's an attractive game. You've got Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, and it's not just an AFC West rivalry with the Las Vegas Raiders. And the first time that national TV they're going to be able to come out on Sunday Night Football out here to Las Vegas. But you also have a 6-3 Raiders team that's knocking on the door, not just of the playoffs, but potentially a division championship. When you look at the Chiefs, and not to say that the Raiders are going to win on Sunday, but should they win on Sunday, you know, the Chiefs' schedule the rest of the way is not the easiest schedule. They've got that first-place schedule, so they have to go to the Buccaneers. They have to go to the Miami Dolphins. They have to go to the New Orleans Saints. It's not inconceivable, you know, that they could lose one or two of those games down the stretch. So the Raiders as division champions, that's not entirely out of the question. So it's a very attractive game. And I'm sure that the NFL wants to keep it right where it was. And if we remember back to that Tampa Bay game, the Raiders were able to play Tampa Bay at 1 o'clock, obviously, rather than 5:30. So, that might be a lesson that the NFL learned in terms of, hey, as long as everybody continues to test negative, that we're in close contact with Clelia Ferrell, then they should be in good shape to get this game played with the majority of the players out there.
Vinny Bonsignor is with us. Of course, his show coming up in the huddle with Lincoln Kennedy up next here on Raider Nation Radio. And Vinny, just reading through the intensive protocols, by the way, you're right. They have to hold virtual meetings, and players and team personnel must wear masks and mouth shields at all time during practices, and they cannot gather together away from the facility, as well as some other testing. They can't eat together, and also use of the locker room is discouraged, which is kind of interesting, discouraged on days when games are not played. So, you know, everybody's going to be in the same boat on this one. And so in some ways, I was trying to put some positive light on what happened today and say, listen, they went to this intensive protocol today anyway, so a lot of the meetings that they would have in person now are going to be virtual anyway. So, yeah, those guys can't do walkthroughs and whatnot, which hurts a player, I think, just being around their teammates. But certainly everybody's going to have to go a little more virtual again, so they got that going for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, like I said, that parking lot was pretty barren when I left about a half an hour ago. So that makes sense, to do it that way. I know everybody's well-versed in the Zoom meeting thing, having done it, throughout the off season and at times during training camp. And now it looks like for the rest of the season, too, unless the NFL changes course at some point, it's going to be what they're going to have to do throughout the rest of the season. So major change. All understandable given, the situation that we're dealing with. But, you know, it's just, and we talked about this yesterday, it just drives home the point of, you know, everyone's just got to be diligent. Everybody's got to be disciplined. If the goal is to get through this season, you know, played, then you're going to have to do everything that you can do to make sure that that happens.
You know, Vinny, on Sunday against the Broncos, we saw a slight Bryan Edwards sighting. He had a nice catch.
Yep.
It was nice to see him out there. Do you think you start to see him more involved week to week to week, as long as he's healthy, just getting and being a part of that offense?
Yeah, no question about it. The Raiders obviously like Bryan Edwards. They invested a fairly high draft pick in getting him. They liked what they saw in training camp. They liked what they saw earlier in the season when he was out there. In fact, he got hurt making his biggest play of the year against the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. I think the gain was over 30 yards. Got tackled awkwardly and got hurt. So, you know, he's a big target. He's a guy that they have that they feel like he has a bright future. And you know, just any opportunity to lengthen that wide receiver room and get more weapons on the field, they're going to take advantage of it. And on top of that, they're trying to groom him. I mean, he's a big part of their future, so they want to get him on the field as early as possible in order to expedite that process. But also in the meantime, he can be a weapon for them here and now.
All right, Vinny Bonsignore coming up with Lincoln Kennedy next on In the Huddle. He is remote today again. Where are you today, Vinny?
We're at Monzu Restaurant, a great Italian restaurant here in Las Vegas. You know, come on by. It's a good deal. I'm not complaining whatsoever.
Vinny eats and drinks well.
Well, everyone else around me does. I got to still do the show, but I enjoy seeing everyone else have a good time.
Well, Vinny, take your vitamins and get your sleep, man. It's been a crazy couple of weeks and crazy season, and we appreciate your coverage. Make sure you read Vinny, too, over at the Las Vegas Review Journal. Okay, man, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Have a good one, you guys.
All right, there you go.
All right, good. Have a good show.
Vinny Bonsignore.
He's living the life, man.
He's out there. He's doing it. How about...
I need to hang with him for a minute.
Get some free Italian food.
Man, everything.
By the way, the intensive protocol queue, John Gruden did address it today late in his press conference. And here's what Gruden said about how it might change their approach.
Well, obviously the world is in a state right now where, you know, that's a great decision. But it impacts everything, just like it impacts this press conference. You know, you do a lot of Zoom meetings and you got to adapt to the rules. And you got to keep safety paramount. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, I tip my hat to the leadership for making all the teams abide by that.
There you go. Pretty straightforward.
That'll work.
Got to work.
It's kind of what you expect to hear from him anyway.
Yes, it is. Nothing earth-shattering there. No. Well, we're going to get in. He's been patient waiting. Before we end the show, we got to get our friend Gangster Raider. Gangster Raider, what's going on? Don't tell me you're on the COVID list.
Nah, I'm just trying to tell everybody, stay positive, even though yes. We got some players on the COVID list. This game right here is the turning point of the season. We win this game, and we go on a win streak. I think the only next game we should have problems with is Indianapolis. And if we win that game, we run the table, we finish 13-3. Even if we lose in Indianapolis, we finish 12-4, and we win the division. This should be the turning point of the season. So just everybody stay positive, even though with the intensive protocol, we still going to get the practice. To see him virtual anyway, so stay positive. We're going to win this game and win the division, and we're on the rise. Raider Nation, that's all I wanted to say. I know we're about to close, so stay up, Q and Scott.
I appreciate that, Gangster Raider. He's been nice. Gangster Raider's been positivity all around.
Well, I mean, look, the Raiders are on a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's true.
So that helps.
It does. But I get what he's saying. I mean, man,
yeah.
Again, this game is a big one, and the next few days will be crucial to see how it all unfolds because, as he said, stay positive about them coming off that list on game day and staying negative as far as tests concerned. The fact that you've had those guys, you've had two guys on that defensive side of the ball test positive gives you concern and pause. But since they haven't tested positive for it yet, that's a good sign and cue. You know, either way you go, you're going to probably have to play this game under less than ideal circumstances. But the Chiefs are in the same boat now because everybody's in this protocol.
Yeah, no, everyone's in the protocol, but the Chiefs don't have quite as many players and impact players on top of that as the Raiders have affected right now. And so hopefully, you know, things will be okay and it'll be able to work out. But You know, the Raiders have dealt with this already. You know, they dealt with the entire offensive line being down, and it was just all bad. Even though they came back and played on Sunday, it's just it's not ideal again. I mean, I started this whole thing off this show today talking about it's less than ideal. Well, here we are again. This is less than ideal.
No doubt about it. Now, are you concerned at all, Q, about the season finishing?
No, the NFL is going to find a way to do it. Plus, they have that extra week that they said that, you know, you can make happen. And then just be able to, what was it, week 18?
Week 18.
You know, so if there's any games that are missed, that they can get it done that way.
See, I think, remember a couple weeks ago we came on the air, because the announcement came out right before we came on the air, about how the NFL, if they had to, would expand to 8 teams in the playoffs?
Yep.
I think that's going to happen.
Oh, I don't doubt that either, because they can make extra money.
Exactly. That's my point. I think all along they planned on it. And then now with this increased outbreak, they're going to have a reason that won't look like it's just a money grab to do it. And that'll change.
And I don't think this will be the last year either.
No, I don't think so either. I think they're going to learn from it and say, hey, wait a minute.
We can make money.
We can make more money.
Ding, ding, ding. Let's do it.
And in those markets that, you know, teams that would be out of it suddenly have a chance at those final two spots, more money. Because you get you get more sponsorship, you get an extra 2 games. It makes all the sense in the world. So I would imagine that they would do that. But we'll see. And just a reminder too, again, tomorrow's show, Evan Grote will be with us, and then we'll talk to Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. I'm gonna ask him too, because you know, Levi, you know, we don't try to put him in any uncomfortable positions because he works for the Raiders. But I kind of want to ask him, too, because a lot of them have been working remotely all season long, right? So imagine you move to a new market like Levi, and you got to work remote. You don't even get to go in the office. But just to see how the sense is, because I know the protocols for employees are just as strict as they are for players. So we'll ask him a little bit about that, too, and how it's changed, and maybe how his job will change as well with the intense protocol that they put into place. But the right thing to do for the NFL, Q, they got to preserve the season. And we've come this far, and it's just if everybody can do the right thing, then we can have nice things.
Right, exactly. And that's going to be the key. And I think that they'll find a way to get it done. Again, the NFL is a machine, and they continue to just do what they do. And so they're going to find ways to get all these games in. Make no mistake about that. It's just, you know, how are we going to arrive at the finish line? We'll find a way.
That's right. All right, partner, we're at the end of the show. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother.
All right. For my partner, Q Myers, for Bobby Machado, making all the magic happen, we have 1 minute left, he tells me. Oh, I was going early. But hey, you know what? By the way, we did on last week, we closed out the week. Our good friends at Vegas Wish were doing the blanket drive over at McKee Ranch, the onesie thing. That's where all the onesie jokes came from. They collected over 100 blankets for the Las Vegas rescue mission. So good on them, and good on all of you for hearing and going out there, enjoying a movie with your family, and also donating blankets to make sure that people here in Las Vegas, especially those homeless folks, there's more of them because of what's happened with this whole pandemic, making sure that they're safe and warm on these cold nights as it starts to get colder here in the Mojave Desert in Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay, for Q, for Bobby, I'm Scott Colbranson. You've been listening to the Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll be back 2 to 4 p.m. Don't forget, you can catch the archives, lvsportsnetwork.com. Also, subscribe on our podcast feed, and you'll be able to get all the shows. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.